we can live by ideas, but we can't live by ideas alone. It creates megalomania, it creates unbalance, it creates a grotesque parody of what life is supposed to be about. And what life, I think, is supposed to be about is the reclamation of the primacy of direct experience. And that means sex and psychedelics and dancing and conversation and good eating and lots of exercise and travel and attention to what Wittgenstein called the present at hand. The present at hand, meaning what you can reach is what's real. And everything else, you know, becomes progressively more hypothetical, more abstract. Anticipating Wittgenstein talking about our reach, William Blake said, attend the minute particulars. This was his advice for life. Attend the minute particulars. Well, that's good 18th century prose for pay attention to the details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Alan, it's a possibility, isn't it?
The very word secrecy is repugnant.
Secrets.
In a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers,
constant, extreme danger,
which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger,
extreme danger,
that an announced need for increased security.
What the hell is going on?
This is Conspiracy Queries with Alan Carr.
Will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
You're crazy.
And no officious, high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, cover up our mistake.
Isn't the Pentagon suspicious that all the buildings would blow up?
Or to withhold from the press and the public?
I think you're just looking at things for the first time.
The facts they deserve to know.
You've had your whole fucking life to think things over. What good's a few minutes more gonna do you now?
The facts they deserve to know. They deserve to know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're getting down to the end of the year, episode 58, Green Crush, episode 130, Conspiracy Queries.
You deserve to know.
You deserve to know. You deserve to know the truth. And it's been a real problem lately getting to the truth. Because the people telling us what they say is the truth are lying.
Facts they deserve to know.
Move to achieve an elevated existence. Raise your fists.
Welcome back to Green Crush. We're banging out another couple of episodes. We've got a couple of episodes. Now, this episode may be the episode that you hear before the previous episode, which you might have already listened to before. Does that make any sense? Is that clear? Like, if you've already heard this episode, there's a chance that you've already heard the next episode, which was the previous episode. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that we do these in numbered order. Right, we do them in a numbered order, and I'm just saying, like, you might be listening to this in the wrong order. You might already, you might have already heard this episode. And if that's the case, you know, listen to the previous one if you haven't heard it already. But maybe you have heard of the previous episode. I don't know. I'm just saying it's very important that you listen to these, not necessarily in order, but that you pay attention to the numbers of the show that you're listening to. When you're listening to it, okay? That's all. And it's important because, you know, we'll tell you later. Welcome to Green Crush. What is green cannabis? What does crush mean? It means we're going to crush the lies and the misrepresentations that prevent cannabis from being used as a very, very energizing nutrient supplement. What? I thought this was just about wants to get high and sit around again. Well, that's fun too, no doubt. But this is more, the show that I'm doing is more about the fact that I had one thing made evident to me that I might be able to use to get out of trouble from cancer, stage four. So I've been doing this show on that for a year and a half in Canada. So it doesn't surprise me that our viewership, our listenership is larger outside of Canada, because in Canada, it's not interesting. I've learned this the hard way. I've become disappointed. Aww. I've become angry. I've become upset. I've become what I felt like was like, you know, persecuted. I felt like my feelings were hurt. And all through that, I wasn't able to pass one law to protect myself against those feelings. Can you believe it? Not one. Anyway, that's too bad for me. I guess you just need to, if you have a feeling, you should be able to pass a law so that if anybody else has a different feeling, that feeling is against the law. That's where we're going. That's what we need to do in this world these days. And you got people, it's just one song, you know, it's okay, it's just one song. One song, one book, one radio station, times 1,000, etc. Everything's going into the black hole. Have you noticed that? I can't play this song anymore. It goes into the black hole. Black hole. That's what I'm just saying now. As soon as someone complains, black hole. That's it. Can't tell a joke. You might say something that somebody somewhere might find offensive. Oh, my goodness. We can't have that. Let's pass some laws. I guess the vegans and the vegetarians were a lot tougher than we thought, huh? That must be what it was. Remember all the years of making fun of vegans and vegetarians? Look at this guy. He's not even eating a burger. He must be gay because he doesn't want to eat beef. Remember those jokes? Yeah, nobody. We didn't need to pass a fucking law. We didn't need to pass a law to protect our feelings. It was okay. You know, you could make the joke. I get it. You eat meat. I don't. So you're making a joke. That's okay. I didn't need to run away and pass a fucking law. Oh, don't make fun of my choices. Don't make fun of the way I am. I don't like meat. I'm going to pass a law. So that's where we're at now, though. Don't make fun of anything that anybody thinks is any kind of thing at all. You know, pretty soon you're not going to be able to make parking jokes. Because you'll be, you know, you're making a parking joke. Like, you can't even park your car properly. You can't even make that joke, first of all, because there won't be people driving cars, right? Second of all, because, you can't make fun of a person who can't drive a car. It's not fair. They're not privileged enough to know how to drive better, so you can't make fun of them. I mean, that's where everything's at right now. Every single thing can't be made fun of. Oh, God. Which is incredible, because there's so much to make fun of. Don't make fun of the Global Compact on Migration. You're not allowed to make fun of it. The UN says... Oh, my God. What kind of a world did I fight to stay in? Honest to God, I really don't know. But we do have a guest
today. We do have a guest. We usually have a guest, and we have a guest today. And our guest is a purveyor of a company. This guy is, he's coming on the show. He's here live. His name is Aaron. He's got a company called Castle Black. Sounds pretty cool. They're based in Jamaica. And are we hearing me okay? Is that right? Sounds okay? All right. I can't really tell. We're having trouble with the soundboard. I don't really hear what you guys are hearing. So hopefully it's, hopefully we're getting by. Hopefully it's okay, right? Yep. Okay, so anyway, we do have Aaron from Castle Black on later on. He's got a series of fascinating stories. Yeah, because now we're in this place in Canada now where you have to have a certain company to be able to sell cannabis. You can't just go and sell it on the street. You have to have $18 million and then sell it, you know. So, like, if you're, like, Betty's Craft Cannabis Company and you sell, like, say, four fantastically delicious, say you've got, like, you know, Pecan Punch, that's one of your strains, and you got two or three other fancy strains, you're just a lovely grandma cooking up fantastic strains of cookies or something. No, can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do it and sell them. You have to sell them to a license provider, and the license provider will then make up a bunch of laws or observe a bunch of laws. Like, it's just entangled. The whole thing is gross. People are so happy about legalization. This is like being happy that, you know, when you can't untie a fishing fly, you know, or when you're, like, trapped inside of a squid's angry grasp. You know, you're just, like, trapped in a fishing net and you can't get out. That's legalize. All these different rules and legalizations. Hey, let's get back to the show. We have a great show, and we've been doing a bunch of them. And the media has not really been picking up on what we've been doing here. The main media, they've been so full of shit the whole time. I mean, they've been saying, like, oh, my God, I don't know if this stuff works. I don't know if it's okay. I had my whole saga with CBC. Told you about that already. We'll get to that later. If you haven't heard that before, I say it a lot, so, you know, I'm not going to say it this show. But basically a whole bunch of interviews later, and they won't even air any of them. Because what I say counters the main line. What I say counters harm reduction. We have cannabis, we need harm reduction. We also need benefits enhancement. Benefits enhancement. You're like flipping a coin, and every time it comes up, harm reduction. Every time it comes up, tails. Every time it comes up, tails. Every time it comes up, tails. That's just bullshit. Sometimes it comes up heads, and the other side of the coin isn't just harm reduction. Okay, fine, harm reduction, great. Now benefits enhancement. Where's that? Why don't they do that? Huh. You would think they would do that from a government in this country of Canada that had two main goals. Two main goals. When it comes to legalize. Two main goals. First goal was, Justin says, and I don't know which one was first goal, which one was second goal. Maybe they don't have them ranked one and two. But the two main goals were to legalize marijuana in order to keep it out of the hands of our kids. That was goal number one. So you're the prime minister, you're needing to change things, and you're saying, oh, goal number one is we're going to make sure we have to keep it out of the hands of kids. Okay, that was goal number one. And maybe goal number two. The other goal was, of the two goals, the other goal was, of course, we need to make sure that we can usurp and replace the criminal element that is currently selling cannabis in this country. And they did that also by inserting themselves into the role of seller and regulator. So it used to be a criminal activity. It used to be bad for you. It used to be poisonous. And the government would tell you all these things, and they would put you in jail and all this stuff. And they still believe it, but now they're selling it. They still believe it's a bad thing, or so they say. I've been proving that consistently for 18 months. Every single week, we've spent some time on the show proving these notions of government regarding cannabis are pretty much fiction. They're pretty much full of shit. I'll say it again. You cannot study something like cannabis and then come up with a series of dangerous rules and regulations that we have to observe by only learning the bad things or the potentially bad things about the cannabis. You can't just come up with a list of don'ts and do nots, because to study the whole aspect of cannabis, you must have also found in your proper study, and you better have fucking done proper studies if you're laying down a template of rule and law. So when you are studying what's going on here and you're making sure you know what you're doing, you can't only have come up with harms that need reduction, or harm reduction, or reducing harms. You can't only do that. You must have also found the benefits to it. We don't hear about that, though. We only hear about harm reduction. Where are the benefits enhancement? Because the longer you stand in front of benefits enhancement and you pretend it doesn't exist and you only focus on harm reduction, you are a party to a criminal action. You are a party to hiding information that is of great benefit to mankind. And if you're going to sit on those fucking facts, all in the name of harm reduction, and we make sure the children never get this stuff, all of that bullshit has to go down. I'd like to see this happen in a court scenario. I'd like to see it happen in the Supreme Court. This is fiction. This is demonstrably untrue that a young, growing, developing body is damaged by the proper ingestion of cannabis. It's just not true. And in fact, if we had more people taking in properly cannabis from their mother's breast milk, from when she was taking it properly in the first place, I think our healthcare costs are plummeting at that point. Billions and billions and billions of dollars down, 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 because this is a nutrient. I'm not dead. I'm not taking up your healthcare costs with any of these chemotherapies or radiations or et cetera. I'm not doing that, right? I've just been taking cannabis. So my cost on the healthcare system has been down to checkups and blood tests. That's it. That's all. That's all we're using. That's all Alan Park is doing in the Ontario, Canada healthcare system. Tests. That's it. So I have greatly diminished my impact, my carbon footprint on the medical system because I'm taking this supplement. And if everybody takes this supplement, and if everybody takes this food, and if everybody has this in their mother's breast milk, massive illness problems are going to go away. Huge expenditures in the healthcare system. So don't just sit there, Trudeau, Bill Blair. Fucking cop designs the cannabis system. I mean, Jesus Christ. Every single week, I got to just shake my head on that. I really can't believe it. It's like some teetotaler in charge of the new beer company. And it doesn't make sense, right? It's not okay. It's not reasonable. It's not fair. It's not right. And this is the thing. Am I kvetching about that? Am I being a bitch about that? Am I moaning about it? Yes, I am. And here's why. Because when we, and when I say we, I mean users of cannabis, are constantly, frequently, regularly criticized for not being realistic. Hey, man, you're being high, man. You're too high, man. You need to settle down and read a book, dude. You need to chill out, man. You're just being high, man. You're being unrealistic. And that's a dangerous thing about cannabis, right? That's what they tell you, right? When you use cannabis and it fucks with your mind and all of a sudden you're not being realistic and this is a danger. This is what they tell us. Okay, fine. So then how come, if that's the case and we believe it, which I don't, by the way, but if we do believe it, answer me this question. Why is it that if we can't use this stuff at all and it's super, super dangerous, why do we have someone like a police officer telling us when we can, when we can't, where we can, where we can't? Have you seen this guy? Have you taken a photograph? Have you taken a look at a photograph of Bill Blair? And understand that he's coming to you with health advice. I mean, just take a good look at his photograph. Run that through your head. Health advice. It can't really be done like that. Look, here is the problem. This is a nutrient. It has been legislated out of our consumption for 80 years. If you had legislated another nutrient out of our consumption for 80 years, let's say vitamin C, and then let's say you cranked vitamin C down into a really powerful dose, similar to the way you would take a cannabis plant and crank it down to a full extract cannabis oil dose, like a Rick Simpson oil dose. Say you did that with oranges and grapefruits, and you never had vitamin C your whole life. I'll bet you if you took a couple of those grams of that oil, you would be high also. You would be so high. Why? Because your body was missing a nutrient, and then you power-packed a punch and delivered it to yourself. So that's what high is. High is you've got all your nutrients. High is all of the things you're supposed to have in your body are functioning fully, and then you run out of it, and you go back down again. You come down again. This whole thing about impairment has got to go. The perception of it is wrong, and they are basing laws on this. And I might not want to be too upset about it because there's nothing more irritating than somebody complaining about something. But here's the problem. When they took it out of existence in the first place in 1937, that was a problem. That was a big problem. It took 10 or 20 years to figure out. It took up until 1963 from 1947 to 63 to figure out there was a thing in there called THC. And all of the other components started to come in. So we wasted all that time. Then from 63 to 69, 70, we've got all kinds of research going on down at Harvard with Lester Grinspoon. He puts out a fantastic compendium, going to be available for everyone in 1970, 71. No, Nixon doubles down and says, no, we got a war on drugs. 10 years later, Reagan doubles down and says, we got a war on drugs. 10 or 20 years later, we get research papers coming from England saying how this stuff is so going to flatten cancer. That was 20 years ago. They said that the anecdotal reports were finished 20 years ago. And now they're going to make it sort of available for some of us. Not good enough. Not good enough. So Justin Trudeau, who wanted to keep it out of the kids' hands, you did not do that. You can't prove one thing. You can't prove one aspect that your cannabis plans have kept it out of the hands of kids, have kept it out of the hands of big business. Like you know, the players that you didn't want to have in the first place. And we're getting super close now. So it's probably a bathroom visit or something. We have our guest now. He's going to the bathroom now. And when he comes back from the bathroom, we will go live with our guest. So let's just burn through some stories in the meantime. Here we go. Why am I even saying these kind of things? Why am I even talking about this? Because the leader of our country, who's just signed a pact with 88% of us don't agree with for migration, is saying this is the new system. But what has he created? He's created a system where officials can now check your credit card history and ban you from going into the United States because you made a legal marijuana purchase. So that sucks. Look out. Border officials at the U.S. now have full visibility of a Canadian's credit card purchase, including those related to cannabis. So this is the system that they have dreamed up. This is a system where you get tagged at the border, maybe. You know, maybe. Not for sure. I'm not saying that for sure. Because not everybody's going to get asked that question, right? Not everybody is going to get asked that question. But let's say you've got a trip. You're going to Disneyland. You've got a hotel room, three kids. You're ready to go. And they ask you a question like, have you ever used cannabis before? And they say, oh, no. And then they look at your credit card purchases, and they find out that you are buying it all the time. They're not going to let you in. So that's a bit of a problem. I mean, you need to be able to streamline things a little bit better than that. So, you know, if you confess to a border agent that you have not been a cannabis user, but he can find out that you are or were a cannabis user, you're going to have a tough time. You may get arrested. You'll definitely not be allowed to go back into the states, but you know, why would you come up with a system like that? I guess you would need to do something like for your credit card purchases of cannabis, perhaps try getting a prepaid credit card and purchase your cannabis in that way. You know, don't put it to one that has your actual name on it. You know, they're just going to create ways and means of cheating the system. Because the system sucks, you know? And I said cheating the system. I mean it. Sure. If it sucks, you cheat it. It's not okay. This is not a good system. It's not a fair, reasonable system. So people are going to cheat it. So I don't recommend that you tell them you don't smoke if you do, or you don't partake if you do. I won't be doing that. That is absolutely for sure. But it's difficult. You know, we're parsing our way through here, and it's a bit of a difficult time to understand all the different laws, all the rules, all the regulations. They've come at us with a bit of a cluster fuck, I guess I could say, because every province is different. You know, down in Australia now, down in Australia, which has given us such a hard time to their own people with cannabis usage, and all of a sudden, they've got medical cannabis there. You know, I mean, they've been fighting against it forever and ever. And we talk with Jenny Hallam on the show. Boom, all of a sudden it's there. Britain was saying, oh, yeah, no, we can't have this. This is going to be something we're not going to do. Boom, all of a sudden medical cannabis is there. And Kim's angry again. I don't know what's going on. Kim's throwing things around. When I start to mention about these things, Kim starts throwing things around. That's what happens. But anyway, we are in the studio with our guest. Thank you for coming in. We are with Aaron of Castle Black. Now, are we doing the full name? Or we do the whole? Okay, I got to get your mic on. I got to get you going there.
Absolutely.
All right. Aaron, how long are you in town for? I'm just trying to answer that question because I wasn't sure you'd be here right now.
I'm in and out all the time. I'm actually on my way to the Dominican Republic, dealing with some things that we have going on there as a project, and back into Jamaica as of the end of December. Okay. So I'm here for another week or so.
Okay, so let's tell everyone exactly who you are and what you do, because on this show I have had we talk about LPs a lot, and obviously that's part of the scenario of Canada's movement into cannabis. And what I'd like to know is a few basic things about your company. Obviously, it was in existence prior to legalization. And so that's a murky history, and so I might ask a question that you would rather I don't. And if that happens, just tell me. I can't go there. Just tell me I can't go there. So, and I'm sorry if I don't. We're just trying to learn things. So let's find out a bit about your history prior to all of this. I mean, so what I've found with the guests on the show, regardless of their capacity, is at some point they had a life that was going along and something took place, occurred, whatever, that made them try it, and things changed. Because a lot of people try it and say, oh, that's not for me. But now you have a company based on this. But at one point, you didn't have any of this. So what was your turn on that? Because this is interesting for people to understand. Because a lot of folks are sitting there going, I can't imagine the circumstances that would involve me with cannabis. I don't touch any of that stuff. But everybody has a story where that did happen. So what's yours?
Absolutely. My background is a real estate background, and I owned a brokerage. And back in 2011, one of my best friends passed away from cancer that he could have been saved from. And instead, our hospital system, I'll say, decided to keep him up in Barrie. And kept him there, didn't do anything about it. And from September till November, he sat laid in a hospital bed. And while this tumor grew on his spine, they rushed him over to a hospital in Buffalo where they said it was too much, too far gone, brought him back and said there was nothing that they could do with him.
What kind of cancer was it?
It was just I'm not sure exactly what type, but it was a tumor that was grown into, and it actually extended the tentacles and nerve endings that extended into his spinal column.
Oh,
so when they first found it in August, it was about the size of a loonie. And by October, his whole lower bottom half of him had started to shut down, and it had grown to the size of a softball. So the hospital in Buffalo said, if you guys had brought him here in August, we could have cut it out. He would have been perfectly fine, continued on his way. But Ontario's hospital system, being as slow as it was, they didn't have the time to do anything. And So they brought him back and basically gave him a death sentence.
Ontario being a province of Canada that borders New York State,
exactly,
where Buffalo is.
Correct.
Just for our foreign listeners.
So while he was in the hospital, if people brought him in weed, brownies, cookies, edibles, he was fine. He could talk to you. He knew who you were, all that sort of stuff. Everything was great. When he was on the cancer pills and stuff like that the actual hospital was giving to him, he didn't have any of that. He didn't want to eat. He was in constant pain, even though he was on the craziest of pain medication, morphine, etc.
Was it chemotherapy that he was on, or what was
it? They didn't even want to do that with him.
So what were the pills he was taking?
Pain pills, different types of different things that they were trying out and experimenting on him with, basically.
Right.
So he was doing some certain chemo pills and stuff, but they stopped all that. And then, again, the weed was the only thing that kept him eating and healthy, and got him out of the hospital for a weekend to see his friends and stuff before he passed away. So that's what turned my belief in the whole industry around, and kind of got me switch gears and into fighting for what's right for the people rather than sitting around listening to the government tell you what's right for you.
So that was around 2011-12 for you?
Correct.
So you're starting to go, maybe I'm going to have a company that's...
Actually, no. I started actually renting out units to a couple different people that were sick and needed the help. And unfortunately, the Barrie City Police thought that it was in their best interest to arrest me, being the landlord, and saying that it was a conspiracy. And
what?
Oh, yeah.
A conspiracy in Barrie?
Yeah.
To
manufacture and grow marijuana. So...
to help people out.
That's right.
Yeah, that's always a problem when you're helping people out.
Exactly.
You should really not do that anymore.
No. Mind your own business and don't go leave your house, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So I don't follow those rules, and I went and I helped them out anyway, and that happened. And So now I'm down in Jamaica doing it and helping out people and making products that are actually there to benefit sick people. So we don't do recreational products. We do strictly
medicine.
Things to help.
Well, this is interesting. What's your take then? And so we should say who you are exactly. So this is Aaron Cadeau, and it's pronounced Cadeau, right?
Cadeau,
like,
correct.
Like present.
Exactly.
So that's French, a gift, yeah. So Aaron's got a gift. He's got this place. So take me through. What's interesting to me is that so the light bulb goes on that you want to do this back in 2011, 12, and we're a million years away from any kind of legal environment where that would happen. Like, I'm not happy with what's just happened in October, but back in 2012, 2011, Stephen Harper, conservative prime minister, what were you thinking? Like, I'm going to have a cannabis company? Did you really think that was going
to... At the time, it was just renting out space to people that had their MMARs, their license to grow for their own personal health.
Right.
And those were the people that I wanted to help. And if we could have set up a co-op at the time, which is what I wanted to do, a lot of our friends are involved with cancer patients and AIDS patients and different people like that. So if we could put together a culmination of people that would grow and help these people and provide for them, because you're allowed to have 4 patients per grower. Right. And then that's what our goal was, to help people have access to their medicine. And in that going along, they thought that it was this big, huge operation when it wasn't. It was just something simple to help people.
Yeah.
And that's evolved. So I lost my real estate brokerage. And from there, I've taken a different turn. And now I'm actually doing it on a large scale in a different country.
And how did you come across Jamaica? Like, so you said to yourself, I'm going to need to get cannabis. I don't think I can get it in Canada. Where else should I go? Like, what was the thought?
No, I was approached by a couple different Jamaican ministers and stuff like that after everything has been wrapped up with my case. So I went down to Jamaica, had a couple of meetings with them, and got offered to help out with the College of Agriculture and then on to the University of West Indies to do research and development of products. And from there, we purchased our own farm and started building that. And it's taken off from there.
Yeah. So when you were back in the days of, so you're doing this Castle Black, helping you operation small scale. Cannabis is illegal, right? So there's that whole landscape that we were living in years ago. And then you start to hear, like Aaron starts to hear, they're talking about changing things. Oh, this Trudeau guy says he might legalize it. Oh, so the wheels are turning at that point, and you're thinking, how might this change? Or were you just still...
I've always been a forward-thinking person.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? What do we do next? How do we help it get to that next point?
Right.
And unfortunately, with a lot of things that the government's doing, even their introduction of OCS and all these different stores, they can't even supply what they need right now. You know what I mean? So they've taken it and I don't even know how to describe it. They've actually dumbed it down to a point that they can't do anything, and it's basically a stock game now, which really isn't benefiting the people that really need it.
Yeah. What I don't like is that it used to be illegal and it was completely simple to obtain any. And now it was illegal and you could get it, and now it's legal and you can't find it anywhere.
That's right.
Like, it's just like you say, they've bureaucratized it. You know, you can't even access this stuff, and it's all so much of it, maybe not all of it, but so much of it is about stock points and gains and that kind of thing. And I've been reading a lot of things where some people who take medical cannabis are having also supply issues.
Absolutely.
Along with this recreational delay that we're having in Canada here.
That's right.
So you must be thrilled, though, to be on that side of the fence. Like, when you saw all that stuff going on, I mean, you're as such a niche player. It's so interesting because, you know, you're kind of an LP, aren't you? I mean,
We are.
Technically, but the way they operate and the way they have their systems, you're not really like that at all.
No. It's monitored differently. It's actually stricter in some ways. But getting it out to the people is much easier. So all they need is a doctor's note. They don't need all this other stuff, right? So if you've got someone that has seizures, we can get them oils and different things to help them. And we've got all the different abilities now where we don't in Canada to bring it right directly to the hospitals and to the different retirement homes there for people that need to sleep better and different things like that. So our oils are all done completely organically. We don't use isopropyl or anything like that. We use different ingredients to break it down and to extract it. So ours is as pure as the driven snow up here.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's really great. Yeah, because I used it when I made it myself. I was using isopropyl, but you need something. I mean, you know, it was a kitchen and a hot plate.
Oh, absolutely.
Point, you know, so you have and to that, get it done.
That's what in Canada, again, like we should have access to being able to make our own butters and oils and all that sort of stuff. And there should be ways to learn how to do that properly. So that's something that the government needs to work towards as well, instead of just opening a store and having no one there to really back it up and teach people how to do it. And
I don't think they're really trying to do that, though.
There's no education.
There's no education other than, I said this before you got here, they focus almost exclusively on what's called harm reduction.
Yeah.
And I say you can't really have harm reduction. If you have harm reduction, you've studied the topic enough to have also gleaned the positives.
Absolutely.
And so let's work with those. And they don't want to go there. And why do you think that is?
Again, it's
not that they're invisible to be seen, the positives.
Oh, absolutely not.
So
they want to control it. They want to control the distribution of it. They want to control the taxation of it. And they want to control who has access to it. So, and they don't want to get a new following that wasn't already there, basically.
Right. Just want to keep it where it is.
Exactly. Keep the status quo. Don't blow it up and say, listen, this is going to help you. We've got topical creams that you put on one application, 6 months down the road, you're still not feeling any pain in that area. So it's, they don't want people to know that. They want Pfizer and Apotex and all those guys there to do their thing and make their money and whatever else. So it's a fine line that they're walking, because you can't destroy one industry by introducing another. Yeah. And at the same time, it should never have been taken away in the first place.
It should never. That's the biggest problem, right?
That's right.
That is so. And you know what's interesting to me is when I think about that particular point is, had it never been illegalized, let's just say we were rolling on through 1937 and this industry wouldn't even be here as the way it is. Like, all of this has come forward due to repression.
That's right.
The vape as an instrument only came around because smoking was illegal.
That's right, exactly.
I mean? Like, that's the only way that thing would have. If it was always legal, probably no one has even invented that stuff.
That's right.
Because you don't need to sneak it. You don't need to, you know, stand behind the portables at high school and you know, do all that stuff. So much of the negative culture, the damage, the problems that can have. Like, I do agree there are problems with cannabis, but I also agree there are problems with chainsaws and glass windows that are not used properly. So you know, I get it, that there's a problem there, but you have to learn how to work this stuff like anything else. Blows my mind. They're freaking out. It's like, oh my God, we can't have people driving cars because they're going to crash into walls and they'll go through the windshield and sometimes they blow up and if the tires blow out, they'll crash on the highway and like, you're just saying all the bad stuff about driving.
Correct.
That's all you're saying. So you didn't catch the part about going somewhere? You didn't catch the part about, you know, being able to plan trips and travel? You didn't? No, we're just going to talk about the bad stuff. Like, to me, as soon as Joe Average realizes that fact, that's when we're going to have, like, maybe even a yellow vest size revolt against the people that are telling us, you know, what's going on in Paris right now.
Correct.
I really think that the more you repress and repress and repress a person, the more you create that bad shit. Like, if I don't let you out of this room, you're like a nice guy sitting here and everything. We're having a good time. But I'm pretty sure you're going to get pretty snarly once I start cutting into hour two, hour three of the next thing you're trying to do, right?
Yeah, maybe by three.
And by the time you repress, so this is the lesson these guys laying down. They don't seem to either accept this fact, or they get it and they don't care and they're just pushing through anyway. Like, it's really not, it's really getting to the point now where I've realized that it is so much to do with the cannabis itself that helps you see the clarity of the bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's actually one of the reasons they don't want us to use it, I'm sure of it.
100%.
You know?
When they first took it away, it wasn't, it had so many benefits to the oil industry and paper and things that would have taken away from those industries, right? So it wasn't just all about, oh my God, it makes people go psychotic and all this sort of stuff. It was the whole taxation limitation that they wanted to control. Everything that the government does is about control. Yeah. If they can't control you and they can't direct you in a direction that they want you to go, they take it away from you. So it's like, Honda used to make three-wheelers. People got hurt on them occasionally. They took them away. They stop anything that they don't see that they can control it somehow. And especially in the taxation department, like CRA has to figure out how they're going to get their dollar off it before they can have it done, which with the way they actually rolled it out has been detrimental as well, because the gray market has now exploded again. So
but tell me specify on that. What do you mean exactly? the gray market and taxing CRA. CRA is like the IRS of Canada, the tax people.
That's right. So opening day, all these people went in and they went online and they did their orders. Three days later, their credit card gets refunded back to them saying that they can't supply it. So where do those people take their money and go? Back to the dealer that they stopped going to a week ago because they thought it was legal. So all the dealers that you now know about, they're all out of stock as well because they weren't expecting to have 500 customers the next day after legalization to come back to them and say, oh, I can't get it through the OCS store, so now I got to come back to you. So it's created a boom in certain ways, and now they've got to catch back up and redevelop their system, I think, because they haven't licensed enough LPs to properly supply the Canadian market, yet all these LPs that they have licensed are taking their product and trying to sell it off to Mexico, Greece, Germany, all these different places without actually supplying their own home country where they've been licensed to supply the people that need it.
Right. This is why I don't like certain aspects of politics, and one of them is when people, the folks being ruled, won't or can't or seemingly unable to call these people to task on that hand. Because while we're sitting here having a conversation, if you tell me something is, I need to know that that's the case. Oh. Like, I don't want you telling me it's 10:30 at night when I ask you what time it is right now, because that's not going to help me out. Oh. So if you're lying, so it gets to be a problem. And so these people know that they're lying. And
that's right.
And so when you stand up and say, hey, I know this stuff, but they just get away with it. Like, they just constantly get away with these.
Because Canadians have been in such a passive state for the last X amount of years that they don't stand up for themselves. And they need to. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a Canadian, you're a Canadian. Yeah. And we need to have a voice that goes out and says, listen, we aren't being treated fairly here. We need access to this. We need to be able to do something about it. And there's no real forum for it. Like, our politicians don't actually listen to what we say.
No.
They do what is on their agenda, and that's it.
And the trouble is the politician goes in, and if he has that cause, but then he becomes part of the problem later on anyway.
Correct.
When he starts to fight. But here's the thing that I really want to hold them to task on, and that's simple. It's really simple. I've seen the way Trudeau doesn't answer questions. It's amazing. But here's the question. The question is, it's not a question. It's a statement. You said you were going to be ready. Now, I don't need to hear, oh, no, we thought this was going to. Well, when the growing thing happened and when we ran out. No, fuck all that. You said you're going
to
be ready.
And that's why it took so long for them to come to.
That's the end of it.
That's
like,
right.
Let's not, oh, we'll go to plan B. They were even talking about plan B when they weren't getting the cannabis. I was like, remember how you don't have a plan B? Because you said you were ready. Like, you said, I want to say this 15 times in a row. You said you were ready. So clearly you're not ready. Clearly you're not, because no one has it unless they were ready, because that was the plan. Just to fuck everything up. Just to make it harder. Harder to access it. Harder to own it. Harder to pay for it. More of a hassle with the credit cards if you do. Look at this ball of shit here. This is
a little moldy.
This is a little nug. Look at this thing. This company, Redican, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I'm just saying that's the name of a company. I can't even be sued for saying they put out bad quality product, because I'm not saying they put out bad quality product. I'm saying there's bad quality product out there. And that there's a company named Redican. Look at that. I mean, that is all fuzzy. You know what it is? You're rushing, rushing, rushing. You're rushing so quickly to get this to market because you're not ready. And you put it in a container. It's still a little bit damp. Didn't dry out properly. And it shows up damp like this.
That's right.
I mean, it shows up moldy like this. So it's dried out more than it should have, because you're supposed to dry this stuff out till it's dry. And that's the weight you're using. Not the weight that it's while it's drying, and now it's 3.5 grams, and now it's less than that. You idiots! Like, they have screwed up. I mean, I can't even count all the aspects where they have failed, right? And it all comes down to a series of lies. So I'm glad you're a guy who is an honest purveyor, but you're also a licensed producer. So now I really want to spend some time talking about some of your thoughts on what you've seen going on in other aspects of this industry. In other words, from your Castle Black Rook Castle position, take a few shots at not necessarily attacking anybody, but what do you see going on from your place where it was not legalized yet, but you were building your company and now it's legalized. So you know, it's an interesting landscape. No one's really been in that position before. It wasn't like it's illegal to build cars, but I'm doing it anyway, and now it's legal to build cars and now I'm building cars. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you've been doing it the whole time. So what kind of issues do you see along the way that I haven't seen, that other people haven't seen? Like, from your, you know, you're a grower, you're a company man, you're an international fellow. What do you see that's wrong with the Canadian thing? What can we do really to fix things?
Well, Health Canada, I think, and the government themselves, the way they've done it, and the licensing process and everything, all the good growers out there have had an incident in their past so that they can't become a grower now.
Right.
All right. So you've taken out all the experienced guys that know how to grow in greenhouses, know how to grow in indoor settings, and know how to grow in outdoor settings, because it's been such a frowned upon thing, and you've had guys hiding in the dark and doing it out up in the woods up north and whatever.
Right.
You've eliminated all those people because they've all been caught at some point or another and they can no longer do it now that it's legalized. These are all the guys that are true believers in it, true pioneers of it. Or not even pioneers, because I can't say pioneers, because it's been done for hundreds of years. And anyone that calls themselves a pioneer is just blowing their own horn for no reason. All right. And that's another thing that drives me nuts. Oh, I'm a pioneer. Buddy, it's 2018, and this has been done for hundreds of years before us even arrived here. So you're not a pioneer. But it's people that have fought for it. All right, so there's a different term that they should be using. They shouldn't be using it as a pioneer.
It's
a believer, an activist, and all that sort of stuff. So those people should be allowed to grow, all right? Not if they haven't had violent crimes or anything like that, no. But if they've just been caught for growing or whatever, they should be allowed to grow still.
In a system where they got caught in trouble that was based on before when it was illegal, which we're not doing now.
Exactly.
None of that makes sense.
That's right. So all these larger places like Aurora and Canopy and all that, they need those guys. All right, the people that they have growing for them are not particularly the people that they should have growing for them, and that can't control large environments and all that sort of stuff, right? So they need a workforce that knows what they're doing to support the market that we have now.
Right.
And especially all the people that are coming out of the woodwork and putting up their hands and saying, oh, yes, me, I want that. And now the government's got a huge database of who all wants what, right, first off. So that's another thing that we've got to kind of worry about, because information in the government's hands is always quasi worrying, you know what I mean? Like, another way for them to control us. But it's poor Floyd.
It's okay, he's okay, don't worry.
So
he's sighing, it's all right.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. It's if we had people that were in the game for a long time, they should still be allowed to be in the game now that it's been legalized.
Right.
They've been the ones that have been fighting for it all this time. So, and they're the ones that have the knowledge.
Yeah,
you're not taking a tomato grower and having them grow a plant that has nothing to do with what they're used to growing.
Sure.
So,
yeah, I used to shoe horses. I'm sure I can build a Tesla car. You know? this is what they're saying now in Canada. They're saying, and this can be the case for any country that goes ahead with legalization over the next little bit, if they follow the similar kinds of models that Canada did. Industry experts are saying that this shortage will last for years. That's what they're saying. They're saying it'll last for years. Industry experts warn. Now, on the way to legalize, on the way to October 17th, we weren't hearing anything like, oh, there's a really good chance that the way government has done things, we won't have access to product for 27 months. Like, no one ever said that.
That's right.
But now they're saying it. I want these guys to be held to account. I don't want them to get up in the House of Commons and dance around. I want to say, you said it would be ready. It's not ready. Atone. Like, that's it. That's all. I figure it out. Like, the same thing with Donald Rumsfeld. You know, like he said about the war, the mass weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. He said, I know exactly where they are. We're going to go get them. Then they go over there and go, oh, shoot, they're not here. I thought they were here. I thought they were. Now, you don't get to say, I thought they were. I thought they were, and I have, are two different completely. Anyway, it's the same shit, and I'm bringing up that example because it's old, but it's also the same example. It's exactly the same thing where they say these. Huh? You were talking about the government having access to more information as troubling. I have to say, we're going into, you know, so we, you know, and we have more rules, like just, you know, just going to keep cranking out more and more rules to do anything.
Huh?
But what was I going to say there? While this is going on, we have the guy that created this system is being lobbied by friends of his who are other businessmen. I'm talking about Bill Blair currently being lobbied by people to restrict the field of pot growers while we're in the middle of a shortage that they said we wouldn't have because they said they were ready. I mean, like...
Does that make any sense?
Am I in this country? Like, is that really what's going on? That's yeah. This guy's actively... Oh, you don't want more of that stuff because, you know... And people are trying to get stuff. Like, that's I don't understand it, but I do. When you bring in the politics of cynicism, it's easy to understand. But people don't like thinking that.
No. And it's taking 2 years, a year to 2 years, to get your license through Health Canada for an LP, which, again, they've given licenses to these larger players. They've held them at a certain standard, and they've expected them to be able to supply. But meanwhile, they can't supply Canada, and they're trying to ship off stuff to other countries and other markets when we can't even keep our own stock, like shelves stocked. That makes absolutely zero sense. Well, they're still holding back other licensees that are in the process for like months and months and months while certain players are getting well ahead of the game.
While they say they're ready.
That's right.
Right. It's amazing to me. It's very upsetting. And we have to call into account our own assessment of things. This is why I think people get in trouble when they say, you know, this has been turned into a thing in the last couple of years, is this fake news issue. Because it really is fake. Like I get it. Like, you know, people are upset with Trump. But he has said that there are some fake news aspects. And that is true. And I don't care if you hate Trump. That makes it even worse. It's a problem that a guy that you really hate says anything that's true.
That's right.
Right? And so it's super upsetting. Right? So I get that part. But honestly, like, where are we in Canada? Like, okay, so look at this. I did a little research. So here we were coming down on Legalize, and we've not been able to maintain a weekly show since Legalize. Thanks for hanging in for those of you that have. But here we were coming down the pipe to Legalize. I'm going to share this with you because I know you'll get a kick out of this, given your status of what you're doing. So here we were coming down to Legalize, and it turns out there was a pan-Canadian research conference on large-scale assessments. I'll say that again if you weren't listening or you're driving. I know it's a super boring title. It's a super boring title. But listen to this. Pan-Canadian Research Conference. Okay, so a cross-country research conference on large-scale assessments. So if you're doing large-scale assessments, let's say that's your gig. Let's say you're a large-scale assessor. Like, you know how it is when you're a kid, you want to be a policeman or a fireman or a doctor or a large-scale assessor. Anyway, so when you become a large-scale assessor, there's actually conventions where large-scale assessors will go. And there was one here held by the government of Canada. The government of Canada! Large-scale assessors, come on in here. Now, we don't care about democracy. We don't care about guys growing fantastic product. We're saying, let's not do that. And let's find a way to make money in this economy while we push aside the thing that'll make money in the economy. Like, it makes no sense. But here's what this thing says. And this is what, this all ties in. Trust me. This sounds nuts, but it all ties into what we're talking about here. So, a cross-country research conference on large-scale assessments, October 3rd and 4th. That was exciting. We were just getting close to legalize. This was just a couple of weeks before legalize. So this is, you can imagine, they must have been talking about legalize. Large-scale assessments. How's it going to go when we unroll this plan, right? When you change a law, when you alter a fucking paradigm. So what's on the agenda at the large-scale assessment convention? Well, the first thing was registration and continental breakfast.
Always important.
Oh, gotta have that.
Go to a conference on a full stomach.
Then from 9 to 10:30, we had welcomes with the folks. From Catherine O'Grady was there. She's the coordinator of learning assessment programs for Canada. That's important. Council of Ministers of Education. You would think education is important. We've just heard Justin Trudeau talking about education and how important it is for cannabis. So they must be talking about cannabis at this fucking meeting, right? Anyway, let's keep going. Keynote speakers. Oh, Dr. Louis Volante. He's going to be talking about achievement trends and educational policy development. Oh, boy. And what a, there must be something. Oh, 11 o'clock. What's going on there? Opportunity to Learn is coming on. That's theme one. Opportunity to Learn. That's with Anna Caton Chmielewski. She's talking about the widening socioeconomic achievement gap in Canada and worldwide. Because this was pressing shit right before we legalized cannabis. Then we're having lunch. And then after lunch, Alfred and Janice are going to get up here and talk about performance in Alberta, linking math results to provincial curriculum coverage. Okay, cool. And then later on, what the data tells us about schools and classrooms And then from 5 to 7, it's the evening reception. That's when they drink booze. Anyway, this is a thing that Canada just did like a couple of weeks before legalized. They had a bunch of people sit around and talk about what it's like to do math in school. I wonder how that turned out. So this is what the research is about. This is why you can go to a Canadian government guy and say, how come if I'm taking a gram of oil and this guy only has 2 nanograms, he's high and I'm not? How come all these facts that you don't have information for? So Aaron, Cadeau, the gift of Aaron with this company, Castle Black, what are you going to do to help us out? You have a fantastic, we've already heard in the earlier part of this conversation, this whole company was born from a man trying to help his sick friend in the first place. Not to bum you out, but that's where you brought this up in the first place. And I've been finding out over and over again, listen to these shows, so many people and companies such as your own or involved with cannabis come to it because of a thing about their heart. It's a need for their positive side, the benefits enhancement of being a loving human being, to bring a medicine, this green shit that you know can help out to people that are not well and injured and sick people. And we all know people like this. I'm one. I've got them in my life. It's all over the place. And this is coming because you found out a way to ameliorate some of that. And that's why your company is starting to take off.
That's right.
Other people, they form a company to be able to make money right away. And, you know, and that takes off, too. But it's just there's a different ethos. And I've seen this with so many different people now. We don't even need to do any more shows. I've already seen enough people coming from a bad place where they were hurt or a loved one was injured or something or sickness or whatever. And they're turning this. Devil's lettuce. Give me a break. They're turning this stuff into a life, an economic boon, something they want to do anyway. So that's just democracy on its face, right? That's just democracy. You just want to do it. So I shouldn't be telling you can't do this thing you want to do, right? Anymore. Oh, you're going to watch a movie now? No, you're not. I don't want you to watch that. Like, it's democracy. It's business. It's health. It's science. I'm done listening to the negatives of it. And now we have this purveyor from a fantastic company in Jamaica. So you've got some neighbors down there, don't you?
We do.
Who else is down there doing cannabis-type things in Jamaica that you could talk about? And again, if I say something I'm not supposed to, you just tell me. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
No, there's a couple of large guys. Like, Aurora has been down there. Canopy's definitely working on doing something there. Afria... I don't know if you read the articles about Afria and what they're...
We can talk about it. We can talk about it. Mm-hmm. So they're all doing things. And I also understand that a former premier of this province,
Ernie Eves. Yes.
Ernie Eves was the premier of the Conservatives under Mark Harris. He was the...
Correct.
I think he was the deputy prime minister or minister. And then Harris was gone. He stepped in. Prior to that, he was a financial officer. He was the financial guy. So I'm sure he knows about it. So what's he doing in
I haven't heard
Jamaica.
Hide nor hair.
Really?
Correct.
Secrets.
Down there, we have kind of done our thing very quietly, and we just go in, put our head down. We don't mix in with other people's what they're doing. And it, again, we're focused on what we do best.
Right. Well, that's good. Well, we've just had some person drop into the studio. Let me just check and see who it is. Oh, it's Paul Hartman, everybody.
Hi, Green Crushers.
How's it going, Paul?
Pretty great. Nice to be here.
Nice to be here. Yeah, it's nice to get started in here. Just to get things going. So I was just speaking with Aaron for about an hour. And so you're speaking with him also. So we're just at the part now where... I'm trying to understand the transition between what you were already doing here and how you got things going in Jamaica and where things are going now that because Canada's legalized. Like, how did that change the game for you before legalize, after legalize? You're Canadian. Your place is in Jamaica.
Yep.
What are the challenges?
Oh, learning the government and how to work with them down there was the largest challenge, especially since they're just growing the same way that Canada is. The CLA is a new entity for them, but their Prime Minister, Andrew Holness, is absolutely fantastic, and the Minister of Agriculture, who is Minister Audley Shaw, is, again, very for that, for the people, wants to help people, so he's helped us through the whole process and helped us overcome certain hurdles and things like that, and the government wants the people to succeed, the people to have access to the proper benefits of it. The Rastafarians have been fighting for it for years.
Yeah.
And so now with all the different changes that are happening in the world, it's time that Jamaica actually does benefit from it. And that's why we decided to use them as our home base.
Yeah.
They believe in it. We believe in it. And we want to work together with them to make Jamaica a true hub for marijuana throughout the entire country and through the world. So it's a global marketplace. Everything comes in and out of the Caribbean. And again, growing conditions are perfect.
Yeah, good quality stuff in there, right? I mean, that's a nice little pocket of the world to grow, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you get down to it. I was talking to Paul about this the other day. It kind of surprises me, but hurricanes are not really a thing, considering where they are. That sort of,
They bypass the Dominican in Jamaica, so they've been hit once in a while.
It's but so rare.
It's so rare. It's a safe area to be in.
Yeah.
They usually head north and head to Florida, so Florida takes the brunt of them, but it's, again, for growing, the place that we're in has a constant breeze coming off the sea, which is
nice.
Strengthens the plants and keeps things growing nicely for us, and the temperature is perfect for everything, so it's the ideal utopia for what we do.
Yeah. I like seeing a smile on a guy's face while he's talking about the labor of his life.
I just asked Google when the last hurricane was in Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
And they've only had two.
No.
The closest one was 1988. That was Gilbert.
That's right.
And oh, yeah?
Before that, it was 1950.
52, wow. I think.
So pretty safe. Yeah. It's amazing, though, because it seems like it's in the path. Like
it does. Just,
every time one comes up, it goes right past Jamaica. No problem.
It hits...
Grenada?
No, it hits the Cuba... Before,
oh, sure.
Usually, and when it hits that, it loses all its steam. If it goes over it, then it really dumps all the water on the island, right?
Yeah.
And then they might get pretty wet and some wind. But.
Oh, yeah.
So in that way, though, so you're growing outside.
We grow outdoors.
And you're growing indoors.
Indoors so, and greenhouse. We have all three mediums.
Well, I thought greenhouse was indoors. What am I not knowing?
It's definitely got its...
It's a hybrid.
Exactly.
So it's three different
mediums.
Mediums, yeah. Wow. Yeah. And you feel like you're on top of most of them?
Oh, yeah. We've got them pretty down pat. We've been doing it for a while.
And so there's great differences between the three, right?
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, being in the Caribbean, we've got sunlight, which reduces our hydro and lighting costs for everything.
Till 6:30.
And then at nighttime, we supplement with LED lights. So, again, we're as green friendly as we can possibly be on the island.
Right.
Everything that we do, we recycle. Every bit of fertilizer and plant material, we reuse. So... We try and leave a carbon footprint. We try and do our part, and we employ all local employees, which we've taken St. Mary's Jamaica to a whole new level. Because
that's a parish down there?
It's a parish, and it's correct. That's one of the larger parishes there. But the people there have always been farmers' backgrounds,
right.
But work is very scarce there. So we've taken 120 people and totally changed their lives. So for the last 2 years, we've had 70-plus full-time construction workers, and then other people doing growing and research and development, and we've got doctors on staff. We've got every kind of profession we're utilizing now.
Wow. Would you believe 121?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So it's so great to hear. I'm you must be very excited to go from this helpful hunch of a notion from 7 or 8 years ago to this where you're sitting right now. Must be pretty exciting. I mean, you didn't even start to go there. That's my point. Years ago, you didn't sit down and go, I'm going to build a car company that's going to take over the world. You didn't do that. You just started doing things you needed to do to help your friend, and it just kind of became this.
That's right.
It's very exciting to track those. There's so much of that in the cannabis field compared to other.
Yep.
It's not a lot of jewelers going, I just wanted to bring joy to the world, so I thought I would sell blood diamonds to people. You know, it's like this is a real compassionate interest.
Yeah, well, that's how it all started too, right? And it's now that you take one little piece, and we thought, okay, we'll start off and we'll do a little thing in Jamaica, and now it's turned from a little thing into a monster of a thing. Like, we are basically the poster boys for marijuana in Jamaica, where the minister has us doing a pilot project so we can help out the local farmers. We provide them with clones and vegetation. They grow it for us. We take it down, we process it, and we sell it off, and they get fair market value for it. So it helps the entire country, not just what we're doing. We actually benefit all the farmers that we're doing it semi legally, illegally, and now they're we're bringing them into the fold and actually making a full-time economy for these people.
And so this was achieved by just kind of moving forward a little bit at a time with the right goal in mind, right?
That's right.
This is what's so amazing to me because, again, you're bringing help to these people. You're helping out this parish, which is basically like a state or a province, right?
Correct. That's a small province.
Yeah, so you're helping these people out. You're doing all of this. And in Canada, where we've just been legalized, supposedly there were these research advance teams to go and research into the world how this is being done by people that are already doing it and getting all this information together to be able to craft the laws, to be able to craft the Cannabis Act that they did. But with so many of these kinds of people like doing such positive work, it's not really reflected here in Canada. What seems to be here is we have a shortage of product. We have medical people who need to get theirs, but they can't because there's some recreational people who are still waiting to get their order from like 5 weeks ago. And like we've really buggered up the system here. And it seems like there was plenty of warning and plenty of study to not have it buggered up. You know,
couldn't agree more.
And I don't know why. And I think that so much of it in your case has to do with, you know, Jamaicans with that background, Selassie background from Africa. We don't have that here.
Yeah.
That's why they're getting it done there. I don't think we've got it done here at all. We really dropped the ball on, you know, they've been suppressing the information.
It's, again, their background is believing in that. They've always,
yeah,
even before the legalization happened there, they've always used it in their teas to drink in the morning and different things, not just to get high, but for actual true health benefits.
Yeah.
And that's where they are so far ahead of us, all right? They're behind us in many ways, but they are ahead of us in the fact that they truly believe in it, and they know that it helps, right? So that being said, they are more open to trying new things with it. They are open to different methodologies, and the research and development that goes on there with the UWI is absolutely fantastic. So, and they've come up with glaucoma, different medicines, and other things that are... we're not even looking at as Canadians right now. We're looking at delivery methods here, and that's about it. We're not looking at what it benefits.
Because we've been told that it doesn't really do anything, so there's nothing to look at.
Unfortunately, yes. And so we have to overcome that and reverse the last 60 years of people saying, oh, it's bad, and now we have to go and say, yes, it's good. Yes, it has to be monitored, but it is a good, beneficial product for you.
Yeah.
So
I talked to a guy the other day, and... He's deeply invested financially into this industry, and he studied a lot of it. He told me he studied a lot of it, and then deeply invested into this industry. On October 16th, lost a lot of money the next day. Knows it's coming back though, because he says once they get cannabis to the point where it's like a pill that they know can cure cancer, I'm going to get my money back.
That's exactly right.
It's like, wow, that's like way down the road. And plus, it's not even necessary. This is what I'm saying is like that guy's mindset is coming from the drug world of like we need to get a drug for, you know, diabetes, or we need to get a drug for whatever. It's not like that. The whole paradigm is different. Just like I said to you about growing inside is different from growing outside. And now you're telling me it was different from greenhouses. Like there's different subtleties.
That's right.
You don't just take pot and turn it into a pill, and now your cancer's gone. Like, no.
And that's a lot of the problem that we have as well. It's you've got government people telling you how much THC you're allowed to have, how much CBD you should have, and when they don't realize it's the whole product itself that you have to have the combination of it to make it work. Right? Yeah. You can't isolate certain parts of a car, like take the spark plug out of an engine, and
that's what you need
it to
right there.
Exactly. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's got to be the whole plant that you use. We use in our oil processes and everything that we do, we use the roots, the stalks, the stems, the leaves, everything.
Right.
All right. So, and we use it for different applications, different certain ailments and stuff like that. But it's the whole plant is beneficial.
Yeah.
All right. And then the waste product of it, we turn into fertilizer or turn into other products as well. You can turn it into paper. It's boundless with what you can do with it.
I've heard it's good for, and I don't know this, but flipping around the damage done from radioactivity. So, you know, they should be growing the shit out of the Japanese parishes where Fukushima was and everything. They should be crawling with weed over there.
It definitely helps with that as well.
You know, I wanted to cluster bomb with seeds the entire burnout zones of California and northern Alberta and stuff every time there's a fire, you know. And it does that thing that nature does anyway, but we probably accelerated it. But, you know, there's Paul's American Dream phone. Sounds like American Dream. But, you know, I don't understand why they don't do this until I develop, until I come from the angle of cynicism. And I hate that. Like, I said, why would they not do that? And they go, oh, yeah, because they don't want it to be a thing. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it. You guys are pushing for time soon. You're off to Kingston shortly, Ontario.
Kingston, Ontario.
So what is it? You leave Jamaica, you just have to go to places with the same name? Or what are you doing?
No, just meeting after meeting. And yeah. Now that, like, the legalization is gone and the shortages are there, people are calling us like crazy so that they can start importing our oils and stuff like that. So
right. That's
the next step, is getting it from Jamaica to here. And that's what we're working on diligently with the Jamaican government and
right. Canadian
representatives. So,
I'm really glad you came on the show. There's a really there's a reticence from a lot of people in the business that are a purveyor of something to come on the show, because there are these dodgy laws where you're not supposed to promote something. So technically, me talking to you about your company, I'm interested in that, and I want to know, and I want to understand how it's helped people. But technically speaking, I'm helping to promote your company, which is technically speaking sort of illegal.
I'm a Jamaican company, so
you're
it's okay.
A Jamaican company, so that's what I said. We just promote something else. We'll just promote somebody else, something else. So that's great. So Castle Black, that's all one word. Where can we find you and your company and learn about this stuff?
CastleBlackCannabis.com or CastleBlack.com.
Okay,
that's it's got more about us and more coming as soon as we go along. So,
right. And what kind of products have you got right now? Like, just burn through your catalog for the listeners who are not watching or reading this right now. What kind of things?
Just every type of oil you can imagine. Again, we've got topical creams. We've got pills. We're working on a couple different patents on certain gels that actually help with gum disease and stuff like that. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gum disease. That's a fun one to get by, right?
Something nobody wants to talk about, but there's a huge problem.
It is. This is another thing, though. Be careful, listeners. What happens is when we get a gentleman like this and he starts telling you the 5 or 7 different things it can help with, but then we had a different guest who also said 5 or 7 different things, and then you're into this notion that cannabis, it can't cure everything like that. It helps with so many things because it's nutritional. Okay, don't get all weirded out and, you know, these guys are high. They don't know what they're talking. Then no drug can cure every disease. No drug can. And this isn't a drug. Okay, this is the point. This is a plant.
Great anti-inflammatory.
It's an anti-inflammatory. It's a nutrient. There's, you know.
Yeah, the stuff being done with consuming fresh cannabis.
Yeah, juicing it.
Juicing it. Food is mind-boggling.
All of that. I mean, I would just love to live inside of a, you know, a fridge where that's all they just store it all the time. Like, have some more juice. Have some more juice. Have some more oil. Have some more juice.
You're here just getting a bathtub full of it.
Yeah, like the boy in the bubble. You know, let's do that. Let's do the boy in the cannabis bubble experiment. That's what I would do. I would love to do that. Then we'll show this shit works. But they don't really want to do it. We're getting the signal. We got to go, right?
No, I just wonder if you want to check in with Africa while the guys are...
We're going to check in with Africa?
Yeah.
Okay, let's check in with Africa. I know you're...
That's an incredible story, too.
It is.
They were against it.
Yeah.
6 months later, it's fully...
Again.
They're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, that's the
so
thing with
how
these...
does that happen? They're exporting from
these are the,
0 to 60.
We have to find that stuff, because when they say here, oh, well, we're going to need a long time... No, you're not. No, you're not really. So where's that guy from Africa? Where is he? We have to give him a ding because this is going to be good. Where'd you shoot that number, Kim? Where was that guy?
He's on Skype.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Let's see where he is. I got so many ways now to reach people. I can't even understand it.
Can a traveler.
Here we go. Going to call him up. Here's Didier. Didier Miguel is on the line. Hopefully. He's the can a traveler, folks. So he gets the... Gets to go around and talk about things.
So he goes to different countries where they're...
Is that Didier?
Yes, it is.
Didier, this is Alan Park calling from Toronto. Green Crush Live. How are you today?
I'm very well, and yourself, sir?
I'm pretty good. So where might you be in the world at this moment?
At this moment in time, sitting in my office in Johannesburg, South Africa.
South Africa. All right. So... Do you know what's going on in Canada right now? Canada traveler?
Understanding, yes, of what's going on.
You have a. Are we hearing him okay? Is he all right? Okay.
Fine.
I'm just making sure I could hear you, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I'm just making sure I could hear you. It's a bit quiet on my end of things. So, anyway, Didier Miguel, tell us who you are and where you live and what you do, because I have a purveyor from Castle Black here. We have Aaron Keddo here, and he runs a fantastic company. You're in South Africa. He lives in Jamaica most of the time. What are you doing?
Well, myself, I do a number of different things. I come from a creative background. Now I do a lot of business development, marketing, brand development, and so on. I also own a company called Canna Traveler, which is an upcoming website for anything related to cannabis in South Africa. So basically, you can book your cannabis-friendly accommodation, go on safaris that are cannabis-friendly, tours, and quite a lot more on that.
I don't know if I want to see a lion and be high at the same time, but I like where you're going with this. So congratulations. How long have you been doing it?
But exciting.
I'm sorry, I lost that part. What's exciting?
I've tried that before. Getting high and watching lions is quite exciting.
I'll bet. You go out and rip through a bong and let's go check out this pride. Sounds good. I don't know if I'm going to be doing that ever, but I like where you're going with this. So you guys call it Daga, right? Is that what you call it, Daga?
The pronunciation is Daga. So it's cleaning you're clearing your throat on the G.
Right. Okay. Daga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a
word.
Yes.
And you guys have got an interesting story with that. You started out it wasn't available, and then now it's available legally.
Rapidly.
Correct. Well. It actually started in the Western Cape, which is the southernmost point of South Africa, with two gentlemen, Jeremy Acton and Rasta Gareth Prince, which were fighting on religious basis.
Okay.
And on the back of that, they actually got the ruling to say that it's unconstitutional to not allow the use of cannabis.
It's constitutional to allow it, or so non-constitutional to not allow it. Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
And then it became available pretty quick, right? It was a pretty quick turnaround once they decided that.
Yeah, it was quite a quick turnaround. There was also another case that was happening at the same time, which had a large influence on the change. Basically, we brought in a whole lot of scientists. For instance, Professor David Nutt. I'm sure you're aware of him.
Yeah.
He came over. He fought for the plant. You can actually research it. It's called the Trial of the Plant.
The Trial of the
Plant. It was actually called... Yeah, it was a huge court case. So after the Western Cape hearing or ruling, the law had 24 months to change, and they actually changed it a little bit earlier than that to all our benefit, which is very good for all of us.
Okay. Well, tell us this Canna Traveler aspect. What does that mean? Because I'm going to tell you something else that happened. Back when we legalized in Canada back in October 17th, right after that, there were a lot of countries around the world, including South Korea, saying, hey, we know Canada's legal weed now, but if you go there and you come back to South Korea and we test you, you're going to be in trouble. You can't have cannabis and go to Canada and do a vacation and come back. And then all of a sudden it's legal in South Korea. So, like that was a month ago. I mean, they were telling their own people, don't go there, but now you can get it also in South Korea. So as a cannabis traveler, are you just sitting there constantly reading telephone books full of local laws to make sure you don't go to jail? Or what's happening with you? Like, how do you even keep track of this stuff?
The thing is, it's a little bit tricky. I'll explain on one case. Say, for example, I grow cannabis at home. I smoke cannabis at home. That's completely 100% legal.
Yeah,
but I can't buy cannabis anywhere, and I can't buy the seeds anyway.
Right.
So it's a little bit tricky. Even if a friend gives it to me, he's in the wrong.
That's weird, because in Canada we can gift. That's our one way we get around a certain possession limits, is that we're allowed to gift it to people. So none of this makes sense, eh? Are you having a good time with it?
We get around what we need to do, so yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. We get around what we need to do. Because these people won't just relax and let us do the thing that we're doing, which is being regular people, expressing our democratic will to have a business that you know, is centered around something that we like to partake in. That doesn't even harm us. It helps us. And yet there's just nothing but series of problems. It's amazing.
Yeah, but we all know the politics behind this whole thing. So.
Yeah, well, we don't all know. I'm trying to tell people, but yeah, it's pretty screwed up. Why do you think they don't let us have this?
Well, a large part of it is money and corporatization and so on. That is a large part of it.
Okay, so they want to control the money. But what do you mean the corporatization? They want to just be able to sell like Nabisco weed and like, you know, Post Shreddies breakfast weed cereal kind of thing. And just like, you know, they still own everything. Like just like good old Dare cookies now with delicious golden nugs. And they also own that shit too. Like I mean, you know, are they doing this across the board? Is that what it is? Like just complete control, right?
Yeah, look, it's completely decriminalized here, but there's no law in place to actually regulate anything. So at the moment, it's a bit of a battle to try get it away from certain government entities that want to make money out of this. Yeah. So a lot of the community here is trying to push it in a way where it's local development and local growth for the community.
Well, I don't know how you're I don't know how you're getting through it all because I swear, like I understand what you're doing as far as the traveler is concerned, but there's so many different laws and they change all the time. I mean, I can't even keep track of it just in Canada. It's unbelievable. But what kind of things can we expect people to do with your company? Like, are you reaching out into the world, into these countries such as Canada that have legalized and have a product or a good for sale?
My intention is to branch out, but my main focus now is to develop the education in South Africa. So a large part of the website will be based on cannabis education, what the law entails, what health and wellness entails, and so on. So my core focus for the moment is local.
Okay. And so what do you think that the thing you say you want to teach people about it? What are you saying about the government? The government doesn't teach people about it, or they're only teaching them bad things, or the bad side of it?
The government is not putting in the effort for education on cannabis.
Oh, okay.
So unfortunately, there's a private community that started up, the Cannabis Development Council, or CDC, but not the CDC. So they are a privatized thing, and they're actually trying to develop the understanding of cannabis, the local community farmers, because I read a stat about last week, there's 900,000 cannabis farmers in South Africa that service over 4 million people.
What? You got 1 million farmers and 4 million buyers?
You've got a massive market.
Wow. That's some pretty attention. That's a pretty good
Colorado
detail.
Colorado was bad. They have 9,000 growers and only 3.5 million people.
Oh, wow. That's some pretty stacked odds. It's like everybody has their own personal grower, right?
Apparently, South Africa produces illegally for a long time many of the good bud for around the world, but all outdoor grown and so on. Obviously, yeah. The infrastructure to get local farmers to do anything high tech it won't work. Right. Not yet, at least.
Right. Wow. Well, you guys are amazing. I mean, I love these stories and how fast they flipped around. It's been really something because, you know, we were on our own time schedule. First, you know, our prime minister came out and said, oh, yeah, we're going to do this right away. Then he said, oh, no, we're going to need to wait a year. Then he said, oh, we're going to wait another year. And then they're going to say, oh, you're going to wait another 6 months. So they keep taking all these extra bits of time because they were getting ready. You know, they were preparing. Anyway, it's all gone to hell. They weren't ready. It's not done. They got it. And it took months and months and months and months and months. And you guys are all setting up, flying away. No problem. Doing it. No problem. Like, I mean, this
exporting
is just this
already.
And they're exporting already. This is another example of how terrible of a government we have here in this country. I mean, I know the world's looking to us because we did it. But boy, did we screw it up. It's amazing to me. I'm enjoying it now because I've been so angry about how screwed up it is. Now I got no emotions left but just like giddiness. I've used up everything.
The comedy of errors.
The comedy of errors. It's so stupid. I mean, you just want to get, like, the guy that designed this system, I just want to get him in a room, Bill Blair. I just like to get him in here and just go, okay, seriously, tell me this fucking thing again that you thought was going to work, and then just hit him in the head with a mattress.
Well, get the right bottle of scotch and you might be able to get him in.
We should put some packages together. where we have like, okay, look, here's like, you know, Dewar's fine whiskey. Here's a 40-year-old bottle of scotch. Here's a charcuterie board. And come on down, Billy. Come on, you piece of... Anyway, I really want to get him in here because he just, you know, he's been so wrong. And now he's being advised not to grow more weed while we don't have any. I mean, you guys have really figured it out down there. So how? What's your leader like? Like, what's the leader of South Africa? What are their thoughts on cannabis, et cetera, right now?
Well, look, I don't even think the leader had much to do with the change. It was more the people. The people actually for the change got the high court change the law, and then the parliament had 2 years to change the law for the whole country. So now we have 2 years in limbo where we can grow freely as much as we want, smoke as much as we want.
And you just figured that out, huh? I'm sitting here with a room full of Canadians just laughing at how stupid we are.
Limbo. I think I...
Oh, jeez.
I could get back to my African roots.
I swear, we just need to talk to one person from one different country every day to really broaden your perspective. I mean, just in a couple of short sentences, you're basically saying that Canadian legislators are morons. That's basically what you're saying. It's so funny to listen to you.
It's like the Mexican law, too, when you read it. It says, for the enhancement of pleasure and your personal enjoyment.
That's what it says in Mexico.
Yeah, you're like,
that's all I've been about. Is that what it says in Mexico?
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. Maybe
Alan's
I need to move to Mexico
tomorrow.
I have to get my. I'm going to Tijuana. Apparently, I need to leave here.
You and the other refugees.
I got to get Duolingo going to get this show going in Spanish. Also, okay. So anyway, it's been really great talking to you. Are you going to? Do you offer like information on various places around the world on where it would be the best place to travel to partake, or what are your thoughts on that?
Soon, I will be looking at worldwide, but I think for the next 3 to 6 months, it's going to be a local focus.
Oh, that's
okay. But after that, as I said, we are trying to develop the education here, so it's a big part of it.
Well, we're trying to develop education here, too. Maybe if you come, we'd be happy to have you as a guest at Green Crush Live in the studios, and we could take you around the country where I can show you. You know, we'll go to Saskatchewan where we can buy weed for the car, but if you get caught with it driving home, you're going to get in trouble. We can go to Quebec where you're not allowed to have any plants at all. And then we can go to BC where we can have 5, and other places we can have 4. Other places we can have as many as you want. So we really figured it out here. We've really got it nailed down. We're making a pill, you know, to fight cancer. That's coming soon. Should be out in a couple of weeks, according to some people that I've been speaking with. But I'm just kidding. I'm really glad that folks like you are around. Do you have any other like contacts around where you are, elsewhere, maybe in Africa, Lesotho, or some other places in Africa where you can also partake without, you know, like, what's your take on Africa as far as where can you go to use it without expecting some kind of official problem?
Well, Swaziland has changed their law actually just before we did. So Swaziland's a good place, beautiful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swaziland.
And
that's it.
You can drive straight through to them.
Well, okay, so, and then there are some other rather lawless places in Africa. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Sierra Leone, stuff like that. What's going on in those areas? Do those people, you know, like in some of the more lawless areas, like Sierra Leone and stuff, do they use it, or is it a commodity of the criminal element, or what?
Honestly, for some of those regions, I wouldn't be able to tell you. There's many African root plants and so on that South Africa actually has allowed.
Yeah.
Like ibogaine and iboga and so on, which is banned in many places around the world. But at least it's because of the religious aspect.
Right. And are you familiar with iboga? Iboga is a wonderful thing. We should probably let you go. We have to get going. The show's been fun, but we have to wrap things up. We're going to talk to you. We'll have to talk to you again sometime. We're going to bring you back another time. But I really want to spend some more time talking to you about it. But can you just tell people before we go, because you are in Africa, and I've talked about this before with other people, but tell us what iboga is, or iboga. Tell us what it is, tell us what it can do, and tell us why you're a fan of it.
Well, iboga is a psychedelic to some extent. You can basically chew the root bark. It's actually just the bark.
to, not anything else of it.
Yeah.
You can actually chew that, feel a little bit drunk, and supposedly it has a similar feeling to DMT, but I could not tell you exactly if it does.
Okay. And then? Anything else? Then,
no, apparently it is a creature and everything as per DMT.
Okay, well, so, the thing I was going to throw in at the end was that if it's done properly with the right person, it can get you off of any other kind of thing you're addicted to. Cigarettes, caffeine, cocaine, whatever.
That is true. Correct. It can get you off of many other things. So can magic mushrooms.
Yeah, there you go. And it doesn't take, like, you know, decades of counsel and drug therapy to do it. It's like basically a one-time session or one- or two-time session. Pretty interesting stuff. Once again, the plant world. Okay, so tell people, Didier, where we can find you and where we can know more about what's going on with you in South Africa. Didier Miguel, that's D-I-D-I-E-R, last name M-I-G-U-E-L. Canada traveler from South Africa. Where can we find you? Have you got a Twitter handle or something of that nature?
I have a personal Twitter handle. It's take_your_best_shot, or you can find me under my name. Then you can also follow me on the various social media platforms for Canada Traveler. So Twitter, Facebook.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Kim, for lining him up. I didn't know where you were, but you were found once we started talking about Dacha. Did I say it right? Dacha.
You're perfect. 100%.
Oh, good. I like to get it right. I have nothing but respect for Dacha. Absolutely. Okay, well, listen, thanks very much for coming, and we will talk to you again soon, Didier. Take care.
All right. Enjoy the holidays. Keep well.
Oh, thanks. There's holidays coming. All right, so, well, we're back to...
that you set up for me. I heard what you said. You're telling me.
Oh, I have the... I've got the wrong one set up here. Hang on. Interview closing theme. Where's that? Oh, gosh. Yeah. All right, there it is. 10 minutes. Okay. So I'm trying to get the closing theme. It's been a while, folks. Can you tell? Anyway, we are... you guys are off to Kingston. Are you going now? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Aaron Cadeau.
And Paul Hartman.
Thank you.
Paul Hartman... might be making the bug out to Jamaica like seconds away from now, or maybe in a week
very
or two
sure
or something.
Things.
It could be any time now. Paul is a master grower, and I guess Aaron found that out the hard way. I guess you found that out, so I hope you guys work out.
You know, this is a relationship that traces back to Dr. Sam Malachi.
Dr. Sam Malachi?
Yeah.
That's like a...
Because he's the chief medical officer of... Castle Black.
Oh, I see. Right. This all arcs back to January when Sam was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And he's doing a lot better now, I've heard.
He is.
Yeah.
Sam unfortunately had a stroke, and then unfortunately back in, when he was coming to Toronto. Was it really?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, he had a stroke, and then he's been rebuilding over the past several months. So send him your best love. That's The Great Cannabis Conspiracy. That's the book. And thank you very much. CastleBlack.com. is where we can find Aaron, and understand this is a very loving substance. I know you're told a lot of things by the police, by the leaders, by people who need to respect the law, etc. But I also know a police officer who used this oil and would have happily and regularly arrested people for cannabis and then was able to turn around and take this oil for their own medical needs. So once we get through the veneer of thinking it's this terrible thing and we can get past the fiction and the lies and actually educate people with the truth instead of these stories or just one half of the story, we'll all be much better off, absolutely and for sure. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Green Crush, episode number 58. And it's been a real interesting time getting back to it and understanding that the world is changing and cannabis has a lot to do with it. So thanks very much. This is Green Crush. This has been Green Crush. And we will come back with another episode another time. Probably episode 59, I would imagine. Is that the one that we've got queued up next? I think so. Anyway, thanks. Be real. And enjoy this stuff. It comes from above.
Bye, Crushers.
Thank you for having us.